Enhance your creativity through analytics.
Back off, man. I'm a scientist.
It's the Conversion Scientist Podcast. I'm Brian Massey, the Conversion Scientist. This article originally appeared on Marketing Land on September 18th, 2014. You should be reading Marketing Land. Go to www.marketingland.com. Addiction torments addicts and their loved ones. This is a headline tested by Mike Perla for the website of an addiction treatment center. The control headline was, "A Place of New Beginnings." Now, both headlines required some creativity. The first is a complete story in seven words. There's an antagonist, the addiction. There's a protagonist, the addicts and the loved ones. And there's a central conflict of torment. The control draws on primal memories of a time when mistakes can be put behind us. Two headlines, each based on sound creative communication principles. Shouldn't it be sufficient to pick one and just move on? As we will find out, one of these was a better creative than the other when overlaid on the business purposes of the website. An abundance of good creative ideas. Much of the literature that I read on data analysis paints a false picture of the process. The picture is that of an egg-headed data scientist scanning spreadsheets and graphs for clues to questions not yet asked. It seems that there is some kind of mutant marketer devoid of the right hemisphere for a brain, the hemisphere associated with symbolic thought and creativity, who is laboring away in front of a wall of screens searching for a needle in a digital haystack. This is not the way things happen, even in an egg-headed company like ours. When we do our analysis, we begin by coming up with creative ideas about why a particular part of a website is or is not working for the business. We have the same conversations heard in companies and agencies the world over. What if we change the headline or image? What if we change the call to action on the button? What if we reduce the number of fields in the form? What if we made the free shipping message more evident? What if we redesigned this page completely? Like any well-trained designer or writer, we stretch ourselves creativity. We look for corner cases or extreme changes. We try to incorporate non-intuitive thinking, pulling ideas out of left field and putting them on the pitcher's mound. In the end, we end up with a long list of good creative ideas for making a website more interesting, more engaging, and better at communicating, better at making money. Without some of the sizing up of these ideas, we must simply pick ones we like best and run with them. A dearth of data. Like the image of our egg-headed data scientist sitting in a room covered with monitors, there's a similarly false image of the marketing creatives. It is the madman image of bright people sitting around coming up with great ideas until, boom, the right one emerges, and they all know it. To be fair, these ideas are based on research, traditionally self-reported research such as focus groups. Unfortunately, when we're asked to explain why we buy something, we tell lies. This is human nature and a discussion for another day. Today, the creative process is backstopped by a search for evidence. For any creative idea, there is now a fossil record that can be accessed in the form of web analytics. There are two primary kinds of analytics that you can use to validate your creative ideas. One, behavioral analytics, like those delivered by Google Analytics and Adobe Site Catalyst. These tools track the page-to-page behavior of visitors en masse. Two, user interaction analysis, like those delivered by Crazy Egg and ClickTail. These tools use heat maps and session replays to uncover the way visitors interact with specific pages. With these tools, we can look for evidence that our creative ideas will actually make a difference. From creative to proof. An online business owner recently lamented, "We have the best prices and free shipping. Why aren't people buying from us? Do I need to put up a neon sign telling them just to buy?" In exasperation, this is exactly what he decided to do. In scientist terms, his hypothesis is, if I make my call to action button more noticeable, more visitors will buy. How would we find evidence that the call to action button is the issue? For most e-commerce sites, the add to cart or add to bag button is found on the product detail page, or just the product page. We can look at our behavioral database to speculate on two questions. Are visitors serious about buying? And if so, are they confounded by our call to action? It just so happens that our analytics packages are equipped to tell us these two things. In the tables that you will see in the column, we can tell from the first column that the product pages represent 20% of all page views on the site. The other 80% will be on the homepage, on category pages, and on landing pages. Now, the third column gives us an average of the time visitors spend on product pages. It's higher than the average time spent on all of the pages of the site, so visitors aren't necessarily whizzing past these pages, but they aren't lingering either. The seventh column, percent exit, tells us that 17.88% of visits end on these pages. This number is below the site average, but why is this the terminus for almost 18% of visitors? Are our prices too high? Is our description poor, or are pictures wanting? The sixth column shows a bounce rate considerably higher than the site average. This means that 61.7% of visitors are leaving after they see this page. We can deduce from this that visitors who come directly to this page aren't being grabbed. There's some evidence that these pages are not performing at their peak. The high bounce rate and the average exit percent tells us that we can be doing better. Do we see something in the way visitors are interacting with the site that we should be paying attention to? A scroll map is one report presented by click tracking software. The hotter the color and the shading, the more eyes are seeing it. Where it is cool green and blue, we can be sure that few things are getting the chance to be seen. Our example scroll map that you can see in the column is typical of many of them. It's hot near the top, but quickly gets cool below the fold. So where is our call to action button? Well, it's right in the middle of a band of high attention. Our hypothesis that making the add to cart button bigger and brighter isn't really holding up too well. One thing is for sure, if we change the add to cart button, many people are going to see that change. There is something else that we see from this scroll map, though. There at the bottom, in an area of blue, is a very important piece of information. Free shipping. This tells us that there may be a better creative hypothesis available. One like this. If we mention free shipping somewhere in the hot part of the page, more people will see it and are more likely to buy from us. Which should we first test? There is really more evidence in the scroll map report that the free shipping offer is being missed by visitors than the add to cart button. So I would test the free shipping hypothesis first, based on the data. Other sources of proof. There are a number of other places that we could look to bolster our hypothesis. We could search the live chat transcripts for the word shipping or free shipping. This means that people in live chats are asking about this. We could survey our competition sites to see if they are offering free shipping. We could ask our customer service folks if they get questions about free shipping often. Every creative idea can be verified or disproved by a dedicated search for proof in the data. So when the data doesn't exist, I don't know if Mike Perla had analytics evidence to support his headline hypothesis, but we know that he decided to collect some data to support it. He did a split test. You can look at testing as a way to collect data about your hypothesis. The data from a split test is very convincing. So what did Mike Perla find out in his test? The story headline, "Addiction Torments Addicts and Their Loved Ones," increased conversions by a whopping 184% over the "Place of New Beginnings" headline. Clearly, the story headline was the better creative, as the data has proved. To summarize, we can use analytics, click tracking, and other analytics data to help us choose what to test. Then we use split testing to provide the kind of data that is hard to argue with. This is how the creative design process is supported and guided by data. Both are necessary. Designers and writers can be supported in their creative decisions by data created by the people they are designing and writing for. What creative ideas do you need data for? Let me know in the comments and I'll tell you where to look for support. Thank you so much for listening. Hope you've enjoyed this episode of the Conversion Scientist Podcast. Let us put data to work for your creative ideas and grow revenue for your website. You'll find us at www.conversionsciences.com. Schedule a call with a conversion scientist and we'll tell you exactly what we could do for you.